blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. In a black-and-white film, words appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Mickey Rooney as Mickey Moran and Judy Garland as Patsy Barton. Babes in Arms, copyright 1939. This film has been described by Descriptive Video Service, a division of the Media Access Group at WGBH, with funding by the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Dutch Priest and Justin Soule. Read by Miles Neff. For more about DBS, call 1-800-333-1203. With Charles Winokur, Guy Kibbe, June Pricer, Grace Hayes, Betty James, Douglas McPhail, Rand Brooks, Lenny Lynn, John Sheffield. Produced by Arthur Freed. Screenplay by Jack McGowan and Kay Van Ripper, based on the play by Richard Rogers and Lorenz Hart. Musical program, Babes in Arms and Where or When, Richard Rogers and Lorenz Hart. Good Morning, Nacio Herb Brown and Arthur Freed. God's Country, Harold Arlen and E.Y. Harburg. Directed by Busby Berkeley. Now, a year appears over the Manhattan Theater District at night, 1921. A message follows. During that happy yesterday of entertainment, which was called vaudeville, its pulsating heart was the Palace Theater. In a theater lobby, a bustling crowd passes placards that show paintings of Al Jolson, Fanny Brice, and Will Rogers. A fourth one shows a dapper man and a stylish woman. Inside the theater, a well-dressed audience watches a man dance on the stage, playing a trombone and kicking his legs. He does a pratfall, setting off smoke bombs, and loses his hat, exposing a bald head. He grabs his hat, waves farewell, and, using his trombone for a crutch, limps into the wings.
How's Florence?
She's okay, Joe.
Really?
Take her to the hospital?
We didn't have time. She's in the dressing room.
I want to see her.
Your puppet's calling. Go on, get back out there.
The comedian darts back on stage and takes another bow. He starts to exit, then stops, turns, and removes his rubber skull cap, revealing himself to be the dapper man from the lobby placard.
Thanks, folks. It's been 5 years now since you said hello to me and Florrie, and... But this time she asks to be excused.
Now, a man in the wings cups his hands around his mouth.
Joe, it's a boy!
Joe rushes backstage.
Go on!
Joe faces the audience.
Well, it looks like I got a son!
Joe takes out a handkerchief.
Born in the Palace Theater!
In the orchestra pit, the conductor plays a violin. Joe conducts the singing, then rushes off. Later in a bar, he sings with his buddies. Frowning, a lean man shakes his head.
The toast to vaudeville, the greatest entertainment in the world. It made me what I am today, a papa. And it's pretty nice, I tell you, having that little home down there on Long Island where you can take the wife and kiddies, where you can lay off all summer long, in the country, instead of a crowded boarding house in the roaring 40s where there's nothing but streets to play in, like I had when I was a kid. What other business is like that? I ask you, there ain't none.
Joe lifts his glass.
Vaudeville, boy, you're something.
The lean man, Harry Maddox, stands.
Why... With so many of the best in one bunch, I'm tempted to warn you. There's a shadow coming up. May change things a whole lot. It's getting taller, that shadow, and wider, very fast. The motion picture.
Oh, shadow is right. Making faces. Flash in the pan. Motion pictures change things. Not until the Hudson catches fire.
Okay, boys. I hope you're right. Here's to 40 weeks. May it last forever.
Now a Variety headline reads, Vaudeville Biz Booms. Then a signboard reads, Joe and Florrie Moran. Now Joe and Florrie dance on stage as the names of cities spin by. Chicago, Minneapolis, Vancouver, San Francisco, Kansas City, Milwaukee. Now as they take their bows on another proscenium, New York. Later, a newspaper personal reads, "To our public and friends, a Merry Christmas, Joe and Flory Moran, Seaport, Long Island." In a living room, a shiny star atop a Christmas tree reflects candlelight. Joe approaches Flory, carting a boy in his arms and a girl on his shoulders. As the couple kisses, Joe hands the boy to his wife. Under the tree, two baby shoes are tagged for Mickey. Later, a derby hat and a pair of tap shoes have the same tag. Now, little Mickey tap dances in a hat and matching suit as his parents watch gleefully from the wings. Mickey bows. Now at a party, Joe and Flory wear New Year's Eve hats. Balloons read, "Hooray for Vaudeville." Joe jumps as a balloon pops by his head, then he pops one behind Flory's head. Two firecrackers stuck in Mickey's ears explode. Three labeled balloons pop, 1926, 1927, 1928. A Variety headline reads, "Talkies arrive."
That's the Broadway melody.
Another headline, "Film songs sweep nation." Chorus girls in raincoats dance under a staged downpour. More headlines, "Garbo talks, then talkies top vaudeville." Now a mustached man talks to a crestfallen Joe.
Vaudeville anymore. Now take the Palace Theater, for instance. Go there any day in the week, even Monday. What do you see? A lot of people buying tickets for a talking picture.
Now at his home, Joe paces.
I don't know what to make of it. Something's got to be done. Every vaudeville performer in Seaport is broke and owes everybody in town. Gee, I never thought that pictures would take the place of vaudeville.
Maybe if you and Mom had a new act.
New act. You talk like your brother. Where is Mickey?
He's in town at the music publisher's.
He wrote a song last night.
Yes, and he'll write another one tonight, like he did last night and the night before that.
Well, all kids have to go through their songwriting age. I remember when you did.
And I wrote some pretty good ones, too. And what did it get me? Nothing. Mickey is wasting his time. He'd better learn a trade and forget about show business, or he'll wind up like me.
There must be some theaters left, Dad.
A lot of empty ones.
But, darling, with a good bill, you could open them.
Joe's eyes light up.
Huh?
Sure, there's a lot of good acts right here in Seaport that would be tickled to death to have the opportunity.
Say, that's an idea. A road show with a lot of old-timers. So a guy's got to do it himself, eh? Okay, I'm going over to Bryce's and see what he thinks. And that 10%er said that vaudeville was dead. Not with a lot of troopers like us around here.
Now at a music publisher's, an office door reads Mr. Randall.
You okay, this lyric?
Wait a minute, I want to hear this song.
Mickey accompanies a singer.
Good morning, good morning. We've danced the whole night through. Good morning to you. Good morning, it's great to stay up late. Good morning to you. When band began to play, stars were shining bright. Now the milkman's on his way, it's too late to say goodnight. So good morning, sunbeams will soon smile through. Good morning, my darling, to you.
The girl, Patsy, joins Mickey on the piano bench.
Here we are together, a couple of stay-uppers. Our day is done at breakfast time and starts it with our suppers. Here we are together, with the best of friends must party. So let me sing this parting song from the bottom of my heart. Good morning.
It's a lovely morning.
Good morning.
What a wonderful day.
We danced the whole night through.
Good morning. Good morning. Do you have
I said good morning.
See the sun is shining.
A good morning.
Hear the birdies sing. It's great to stay up late. Good morning to you.
When the band began to play, the stars were shining bright. Now the milkman's on his way. It's too late to say goodnight.
Good morning. Good morning. Sunbeams will soon smile through. Good morning. Good morning.
Sell it, Ma, sell it.
Good morning, my darling, to you.
Mickey runs over to Mr. Randall's desk.
How was it?
Where'd you swipe that?
Oh, quit your kidding. Words and Music by Michael Z. Moran. Why don't sweep the country? Won't it?
Nothing very new there, Mickey.
Oh, what good is new? It's the same old rose you see every year. But it's just a little fresher, but it's the same thing, isn't it?
Mr. Randall smiles.
How many have you brought me, Mickey?
Well, let's see. I brought you five that you didn't publish, but I ain't mad. I'm going to give you another chance, see? You can't be wrong all the time. Nobody is.
How much do you want for it?
The usual.
Mickey gulps.
1,000.
I'll give you 100.
The kids gape.
100. 100. Honest?
Oh, that's wonderful. Mickey, he's going to publish it.
Huh? He is.
Mickey faints.
Oh, he's fainted. Quick, get some water. Get some water. Oh, Mickey, please. Speak to me. Wake up. Oh, dear. It was too much for him. He couldn't believe it.
It's a good thing I didn't say yes to the 1,000 or he'd have dropped dead.
Yeah. Mickey.
Later, Patsy fans Mickey's face with a check.
Are you all right, Mickey? Speak to me, Mickey.
Mickey woozily stirs and opens his eyes. He looks at Mr. Randall, then to Patsy.
What happened?
Mr. Randall's going to publish your song. Look, here's your advance check for $100.
Mickey focuses on the check in Patsy's hand. He takes it as Mr. Randall pats his shoulder.
Oh, gee, Mr. Randall, you don't know what this means to me. I'll never forget you. You know, you can always be my publisher. I'm telling you that.
I'm going to get him home before he passes out again.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that. You know, I'm not going to ever get the big head like a lot of those other publishers.
I'm in, you know.
You can always be my publisher. Wait a minute, Fred. You got my head. Didn't hurt, though. Didn't hurt. See you later.
The kids leave. Mr. Randall smooths his hair. Later, the kids get off a Greyhound bus and walk hand in hand toward a woodland footpath.
You know, it's just like coming home from a big battle, the winners.
Yeah, it was a tough fight, Ma, but we won.
Oh, Mickey, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, but think of all the time lost because my stuff wasn't recognized before.
Oh, well, all geniuses have trouble getting started. Sure, that's what makes them geniuses.
She sees flowers.
Oh, Mickey, aren't these pretty? Wait a minute, I want to pick some.
Gee, just think of it, Pat. My first $100.
Mm-hmm, it's only the beginning, too.
Is it really the beginning? Does it mean that I'm really on my way in the theater?
He sits beside her against a tree.
I want success, so.
And you'll have it. I know you will, Mickey. Just think when our names are up in electric lights. You're the big composer and producer, and me the singing star. Oh, and I'll work hard for you, Mickey. Honest, I will.
Yeah, and then when we go on our vacations to Europe, you know, like you're reading the paper.
Gee.
Our folks won't have to worry.
No. We can pay the bills then.
Mickey wistfully leans against the tree.
Pat, Sometimes do you ever feel older than your folks?
Lots. Especially when they talk about 40 weeks on the road.
Yeah, making a comeback. Gee, it must be terrible to be a has-been.
Don't talk like that. It scares me.
We gotta work hard and make a lot of dough for our folks.
And it'll be fun. Oh, won't it be fun, Mickey?
Oh, with both of us in there pitching, it certainly will be.
It's got to be.
Pat, I'd like to buy you a little something out of this $100, but I...
Oh, we've got to pay our grocery bill, too.
Well, just the same, I'd like to show my appreciation some way.
Patsy grins and drops her head. Mickey removes a pin from his lapel.
Would you like my pin?
Taking it, Patsy gazes in amazement.
It's your music class pin.
Well, what do you want me to say?
Mickey looks away.
You know what I want you to say.
Well, I won't.
All right, then don't.
Oh, Pat. I do.
You do what?
I do. What you want me to say, and I won't. Very much.
Patsy's face brightens with a wide smile. Mickey returns her smile. He gives her a quick kiss, and she kisses him back.
Well, that settles that.
They get up and stroll on.
Gee, you know, it's good for a man to have responsibilities.
Now in the Moran house, two men dance at a party. Enter the living room.
Sure fires it was when you were knocking him in the aisle.
The kids trade a look, then Mickey approaches Joe.
Say, Dad, what's going on here?
Mickey, we're going on the road, all of us.
But gee, that's swell, Dad. When do we leave?
Mickey, none of us kids can go.
None of the kids can... What do you mean, Dad?
Well, you see, son, it's only the acts that go. No excess baggage.
You call talent excess baggage? Why, Dad, there's a lot of entertainment on this side of the room. And you folks are responsible for it. We're your kids, chips off the old block. Most of us were born in theaters, grease paint in our veins. And you say you don't want us to go on a stage. No. You want us to be lawyers and brokers on Wall Street and your girls to marry rich guys.
I suppose that's bad, being a broker.
Well, Clark Gable ain't on relief.
You're too young, all of you.
Oh, yeah? I suppose I'm too young to sell a song I wrote. Look at there, $100 in advance.
Mickey, you sold your song.
Yeah, Mom, it's all yours too, honey.
Oh, Mickey, I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
Well, of course, son, I always knew you had talent.
Yeah, well, so have the other kids, too. I know, I've seen them do their stuff. But take our own sister, for instance. What a voice, a natural. But two more years and she'll be in the Met. Patsy and Don Jr. and Dottie, all of them swell dancers.
Yeah, but our acts are routine. They're standard.
Standard? I'll say they're standard. They're so standard that when you miss a line, the audience can prompt you.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be fresh, Dad. But listen, I've got a new slant on things. I've got my finger right on the pulse of the public. Say, you want to hear something? Molly and Patsy, come on over here.
He leads the kids to the piano.
Now, come on. Try it out, kids. Will you give us a little room to work here, will you? Now, come on. Get settled. We'll show them whether we got talent or not. When you hear this, Dad, this will send you solid. Now, come on, kids. Give your all.
As kids and veterans gather round, Patsy and Molly stand beside Mickey's piano bench while he plays the intro. Mickey turns and nods, and the two girls walk to face the parents. Posed side by side, they curtsy, then fold their hands in front of them.
To look at us, you'd never dream the two of us were twins. In fact, it's quite ridiculously odd. But speaking pedagogically,
and not too biologically,
we're really just like two peas in a pod. We both like to swim, and we both like to dance. We both could fall in love with Gable if we had the chance. Our tastes are just the same, except for just one thing. I like opera.
I like swing.
We both like to eat, but it pains us to discuss the fact we like potatoes, but potatoes don't like us. But when we want to sing a song, we're really on a spot.
For I sing three,
and I sing hot.
With a bow, Patsy yields the floor to Molly. As Joe and Flory beam, Molly delivers her song to a dumbstruck boy. He stares slack-jawed.
My darling, you are my lucky star. I saw you from afar. Rodolfo, Rabbitina, Minneapolis.
She dramatically clasps her chest. Molly nods to Mickey. He lifts his hands from the keyboard, smiles, and nods back to her. Molly twirls to Mickey and Patsy. A small string bass, Patsy steps forward.
Once there was a barber who lived in Spain. He was a barbering fool, a shaving fool from Spain. He was kind of crazy, he was always singing in the rain. His name was Figaro, the barber of Seville. Hi-ho!
Mickey spins his bass.
Hi-ho! Figaro! Hi-de-ho, de-ho! Hidey ho, Figaro, hidey ho, holdy ho, big, big, big girl. Oh, ho.
girls team up.
Give them room.
You've got a clown.
Yeah, you got a clown on old Broadway.
In the Broadway, my woman.
It's got me, everybody dance.
As a guy takes over playing the piano, Mickey and Patsy two-step and spin around Molly. Mickey runs back to the piano. He scoots the bench out, and the girls stand on it. Mickey then holds the slap bass beside them and plays. The adults spring up, and the kids rush to greet their parents.
But you see, for instance, that number, it just wouldn't fit in.
But for Pete's sake, why?
Because we're doing a comeback show, the kind of acts we did on the big time. They've got value, a selling point.
Oh, I get you, Pop. I've got to show you just like the rest of the world. I thought we could help you, but you don't want us on the stage, do you? Just because you're all...
Wait a minute, Mickey.
All right. I hope you're all a big success.
Mickey storms out, and the kids follow. Outside, they gather in the moonlight.
Wait a minute, Nick. Don't mind what the folks say, Mickey.
We're with you.
Sure we are.
Everything will be all right.
Forget it.
I guess I shouldn't have shot my mouth off the way I did.
Oh, it's all right. They understand.
Oh, I hope so. I wouldn't want to hurt Dad for all the show business in the world.
Oh, forget it.
Certainly our time will come.
You better get it. Listen, you kids. I think our time has come.
What do you mean?
All right, I'll tell you. We might as well face it. Our folks are up against it, and up against it good. I've been doing a little snooping around. You know what I found out?
What?
There's a frame-up in this town to get the actors and their kids out of it. Our houses are mortgaged, and unless the payments are up to date by July 1st, why, out we go.
Yeah, I know something else, too. Miss Steele, the head of the Welfare Society here, is trying to get a petition with enough names on it to send us all to a state work school.
A work school?
What, are you kidding?
Can I go too, Ricky?
Oh, quiet, will you, Bob?
She thinks we ought to be learning a trade or something instead of what we pick up in the theater. She's dead against show business.
That'd just be our chance to stick us away while the folks are on the road, wouldn't it? Oh, but we can't go on the road. No, we're too young. We're excess baggage.
His face brightens.
Listen, are you kids willing to stick together and pull yourselves out of a hole?
You bet.
Sure.
I've got an idea. Our folks think we're babes in arms, huh? Well, we'll show them whether we're babes in arms or not. I'm going to write a show for us and put it on right here in Seaport. Why, it'll be the most up-to-date thing these hicks around here have ever seen. Opening night, we'll have Max Gordon, Sam Harris, Lee Schubert down to give us the once-over. How about it, kids? We'll get every kid in this town on our side, and we'll start right now. What do you say?
Mickey and Don lead the march.
They call us babes in arms, but we are babes in armor. They laugh at babes in arms, but we'll be laughing far more on city streets and farms. They'll hear a rising war cry.
As they file down sidewalks and through backyards, more kids rally behind them.
Make it your cry. They call us babes in arms. They think they must direct us. But if we're babes in arms, we'll make them all respect.
Some kids vault over picket fences. Others grab crates and boxes along the way. Now they fervently stride down an alley.
Play day is done. We've a place in the sun. We must fight for. So babes in arms, to arms!
To arms! To arms, babes in arms!
We don't want to go to county farms!
No!
Come on, you babes in arms, stand up for your rights!
Patsy and Mickey flank the tall, slick-haired Don.
We're coming!
Come on, you sons and daughters, we gotta fight.
We're coming, we're coming.
George Washington was just a kid when he chopped down that tree. But if they'd locked him up for that, where'd this country be? We gotta stand.
We gotta stand.
We gotta stand right up.
We gotta stand right up.
We gotta stand right up and tell them that we're right.
Mickey scales a stack of lumber and faces his followers.
We gotta fight.
Fight.
The kids hold up flaming torches.
What do we cheer for? What are we here for? Why were we born? What do we cry for? What do we die for? Why do we mourn? Life doesn't stop. Life doesn't wait. It goes on. We've got to step.
unfurled. Come on, let's tell it to the world.
Leaving the alley, they march into a town square and hurl the crates and boxes onto the concrete. Girls toss baskets on the pile. Others play on a swing set.
Dixieland are going up, going up, going, going up.
Dixieland!
Who wants to round the Mulberry? Who wants to round the Mulberry?
Now, frenzied dancers throw tree branches onto the pile. Guys heap more boxes on it. Then others fling the torches.
Why have we got our arms? What have we got our sight for?
As the horde circles the bonfire, dancing hand in hand, Don, Patsy, and Mickey climb the steps of a slide. As brilliant flames stretch from the playground into the night sky, the frolicking youngsters run ecstatically in their circle dance. Mickey and his steadfast friends sing from atop the slide. Now in his bedroom, Mickey writes.
In the beginning of the show, we will see Patsy singing her most recently published song, Number Good Morning, followed by...
In his robe, Mickey looks up from his writing.
Where is the other piece of music?
As he rummages among the scores on his bed, Joe enters wearing a robe.
What are you doing, son?
Oh, nothing, just scribbling.
Another song?
Show.
You're so much like me, you're funny.
I am?
Exactly. You know, I used to troop with your grandpa. Was he stubborn? Oh! I used to try to get him to put new things in the act, you know, like you do to me.
Wouldn't he do it either?
Not a chance.
What happened?
What happened? He was the greatest headliner in vaudeville right up to the day that he died.
Mickey's eyes shift in thought.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Pop.
You know, Mickey, you're like a lot of kids. You think your old man is finished, washed up.
Mickey lets his pencil drop.
Dad, listen here with him. They don't come any better than you.
Anyway, your mom and me are leaving in the morning. I'm sorry you can't go along the way you used to. I'm going to miss you. A lot.
Mickey frowns.
Yeah.
He taps the pencil against his dad's hand.
I know, Dad.
But I'm depending on you to stay here and take care of things.
I hope things break real big for you, Dad.
Thanks.
Daytime. On the courthouse steps, a chauffeur opens the door of a Jaguar for a young man and a stern lady. The lady addresses two police officers.
Is Judge Black in?
Yes, ma'am. I wonder what cause she's agitating for now.
I never saw a woman get so excited over other people's business.
Inside.
My duty is concerned with those poor children. And something has got to be done about it. I want my nephew to tell you what he knows.
She nods impatiently at the young man.
Well, the vaudeville kids kind of run in a gang. They seem to be cooking up something.
The next thing you know, we'll have a series of cigar store and filling station robberies.
Who's the ringleader?
A tough little kid named Moran. There's no doubt about it, Judge. He's a bad influence around town.
Miss Steele glares.
You know him very well?
Just to speak to. I go to military school upstate.
As Steele's nephew beams, Judge Black frowns.
Just step outside, Jeff. I want to talk to Judge Black alone.
As Jeff leaves, Miss Steele leans her arm on Black's desk.
As you very well know, John, I'm head of the welfare board here. And I'm serving notice on you that I'm not going to let innocent children be the victims of society. Their parents have no income. We don't even know if those youngsters eat regularly. We do know they stay away from school half the time. They're undisciplined. They haven't a chance in the world of learning an occupation that will support them. Now, I call that criminal.
The judge cleans his glasses.
But Martha, you'd be taking them away from their homes.
Homes? Those poor little things haven't any worthy of the name.
Martha, my whole life's been lived in this town. I saw the actors come in. They built their homes here. They built the church, the library. Why, their taxes even paved the roads. They're sweet, lovable people. Just grown-up children. And we ought to thank God for the pleasure and laughter they've given us in our drab lives. Right now, they're having hard times. And you want me to help you torment these poor folks by taking their children away from them? I won't do it, Martha.
You mean you won't?
And that's final.
You'd sacrifice the children for the grown-ups. All right, John. I accept your challenge. I'll see this thing through alone.
Tucking her purse under her arm, Miss Steele storms away. The judge glances up, startled. Now Mickey and Patsy enter a drugstore and find seats at the counter.
Our bankroll only stand two Cokes.
I never drink anything but Cokes anyway.
Two great big, large, wonderful, expensive Cokes.
The soda jerk walks off.
Patty, look, let's pretend.
All right, where are we?
Oh, we're in the Star Club, New York City, and it's after our opening night, and I'm in tails, white tie.
And I have on an ermine coat. Oh, Mickey, I've just got to have an ermine coat.
The Cokes
sure,
arrive.
Sure. And the Cokes are, this is champagne.
They sip the bubbly soda.
Oh, aren't you just mad about champagne?
Yeah, but you know, if this was champagne, I'd rather have the money it costs instead.
Oh, well, now, don't worry about it. After all, you thought up that big parade to advertise the show, and anybody that can think that up can think up anything.
Thanks.
Just think when those big New York producers sign us up. You know, I've been thinking maybe we should get us an agent.
You know, sometimes you get worse than I do. I'm worried about getting the show on. But you guys never realized before how much a piece of cellophane and a yard of cheesecloth cost.
What have you planned?
Well, our folks owe the stores a lot of dough. And I go in and I say, now look, if you want to collect that money, you've got to put some dough into our show so we can be a big success and then pay you back all of it.
I don't understand, but it sounds wonderful.
I got the ideas out of a paper. Seems though a lot of foreign countries are borrowing the money from us, so why can't an American go in and borrow the money just the same as anybody else?
You know, sometimes I think that being a great Broadway producer isn't going to be big enough for you, Mickey.
Uh-oh, here comes trouble.
Outside, a chauffeur lets out Jeff and a well-dressed girl with three Pekingese.
Do take the darlings, Alexander. Let them walk around a bit. In California, we have drive-ins. You stay in the car.
Who's the girl with him?
I think it's... It is. It's Baby Rosalie. Remember the kid movie star?
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Patsy. I'm Miss Barton. This is Miss Essex, the once famous Baby Rosalie.
How do you do?
Mickey smiles and adjusts his tie.
I remember you very well.
Really? Did you see my biggest success, The Queen's Little Daughter? Or did you see my smash hit, The Baby General?
Well, let me see.
It all seems so long ago.
Rosalie orders.
Sauerkraut juice, please. I watch my weight very carefully.
Rosalie looks around Patsy to Mickey. As the aloof young man sucks on his straw, Rosalie's smile catches Mickey's eye.
I hear you're going to produce a show.
Oh, he is. This is Mickey Moran.
How do you do?
Anything for me in your show? I'm dying to get back in harness.
You... I say, I think that'd be swell, and with your name and all...
Hey, wait a minute. You don't want to fool around with a punk like this.
You be quiet. Want to come over to my place for dinner and talk it over?
Tomorrow night?
Say, listen. My aunt's gonna put you in the state work school where you belong.
Mickey slings his Coke in Jeff's face, and the two boys wrestle. As they throw each other against the display counters, the store owner rushes in.
Ah, don't hurry! It's a play! Oh, my perfumes! Get out of here, boy!
Now in the courthouse.
Come now, quiet, please. This is not a picnic. This is a very serious matter. Proceed, Mr. Marks.
And when these young roughnecks finished up, my drugstore looked as though they'd taken an axe to it. I want you to know that 7 bottles of my most expensive perfumes were busted.
Forgive me if I say I told you so.
Martha, my faith in human nature would be absolutely shattered if you didn't.
Why doesn't somebody tell what he said to my brother? Well, all right, I'll tell. I was there. He told Mickey that his aunt was going to put him in the state work school.
I hope you see how this proves every point I made, even with provocation, wrecking this man's shop.
Wait a minute. Young man, I'll trouble you to step into my private office. There's a couple of things I'd like to clear up. The rest of you will kindly wait here.
Mickey threatens to slap Jeff, who flinches.
Well?
Don restrains Mickey from attacking the smug rich kid. Mickey adjusts his tie and steps into the judge's chambers. The portly judge slowly closes the door and strokes his chin. Mickey watches nervously as Judge Black removes his glasses, blows on the lenses, and polishes them with his handkerchief.
Let you in on a little secret. I don't need those glasses any more than a rabbit. But in times of stress, they're the best safety valve I ever had. Gives me time to think, too, before acting. You ought to find something like that.
Oh, I got it. You mean that I ought to think first and then bust up drugstores afterwards, huh?
Come over here and sit down. Quit school, huh?
Yeah, last fall. Tried to get a job. Started writing songs, you know, show numbers.
Where's your father playing now?
Mickey frowns.
Schenectady.
Good booking?
Mickey reaches into his jacket pocket and removes a scrap of newspaper. Judge Black unfolds it. A heading to a review reads, "Vaudevillians lay an egg in Schenectady."
I'm so worried about my family, Judge. I'm sick inside me.
Black places the clipping on his desk.
Miss Steele might be right, Mickey. It's not fair for you youngsters to be carrying grown-up burdens. I'm wondering if you were my son, if I wouldn't rather see you safe in some school, getting an education. Yes, I think if I were your parents, I might sign Miss Steele's petition.
No, 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 Judge, you don't understand. She don't understand either. Well, she didn't mean no harm to us, but we're not her kind of people or yours either. We belong in show business. We gotta start young so we can get some steel in our backbone. Well, gee, we're developing it. You couldn't teach us a trade. We got one. And you couldn't do without it. We're only kids now, but someday we're gonna be the guys that make you laugh and cry and think that there's little stardust left on life's dirty old pan. Well, she don't understand. Well, she'd put butterflies to work making rubber tires. Well, I'm not saying I hate her, but why can't people leave other people alone?
Mickey buries his face in his hand. Judge Black sobs, then removes his glasses and wipes them with his handkerchief.
Defense sustained. Case dismissed. I'll give you 30 days probation to square yourself with Mr. Marks.
Mickey grins. Now in the courtroom.
Here he is now.
Mickey's face is gloomy.
What happened, Mickey?
Was it all right?
Tell us.
Oh, everything's swell.
He looks at Jeff.
Well, I guess I showed you, twerp. The judge bought out the whole front row. Look at that. Come on, kids. We got some rehearsing to do.
As the kids follow Mickey out, Miss Steele and Jeff stand up and trade an appalled look. Later in moonlight, Don rows Molly in a canoe.
It seems we stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then, but I can't remember well or when.
Molly lifts a water lily from a washtub beside the canoe. The boat sits balanced on two sawhorses, and two boys, one at either end, gently rock it, simulating waves. The rehearsal takes place in Mickey's backyard, where a serious, dark-haired boy conducts an orchestra of kids. Seated on small boxes, the chubby-cheeked tots play violins. One little boy violinist looks around distractedly as the girls on either side of him concentrate on their sheet music. On a walkway behind them, Patsy strolls from the house and joins the other kids watching Don and Molly's number. Inside the house, Mickey glances out of his bedroom windows at the rehearsal. He pulls his suspenders up over a white shirt and slips on a tuxedo vest. He grabs a paper collar and bow tie and reaches behind his neck to button it to the back of his shirt.
Come on, put some life in that song, will you?
Mickey struggles with the collar, then giving up, takes it to the window.
Patsy, will you hook my collar in the back for me, please?
Mm-hmm. Mickey turns around.
So you're going to dinner with Baby Rosalie tonight, huh?
Now look, don't go getting jealous. We haven't got time for that stuff.
Well, she made eyes at you.
Oh, you're crazy.
Well, I'm not. She's practicing to be a glamour girl so she can get back into pictures.
Say, if those two sing that song like that, the audience will think it's a lullaby.
Patsy does his bow tie.
Seems we stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then, but I can't remember where or when.
Mickey gazes into her eyes.
That's what I mean, with feeling like that.
You know, I figure you have to know what you're singing about before you can get the idea over to other people.
Oh, Don and Molly don't know what they're singing about, huh? They're just bashful in front of people, that's all. Come on, let's go out and see if we can't needle them up a bit.
He grabs his coat and hat and walks behind the children's orchestra. He and Patsy stop and listen. A boy standing on a crate trains a makeshift spotlight on Don and Molly. A boy seated beside Mickey yawns and nods off.
That's what the audience will be doing if you sing the song like that.
Oh, we were just rehearsing.
Yeah, well, that's no excuse. Molly's heard Pop say a million times, you've got to do your best always if you want to improve.
You better wait till Dad's suit fits you better before you try to talk like him.
Well, the coat fits all right. I can button it up so nobody can see how loose the pants are. I wanted to wear my white pants, but wouldn't they be at the cleaners?
Oh, she'll be so busy talking about herself that she won't notice what you've got on.
Yeah, well, maybe not, but lay off me. Well, you kids got to get to work and get some feeling into this number. This show is all business. Cut out the fooling around and get in there and try the number again.
Well, do we have to do it in the canoe, Mickey? It's cramped in there. You can't move.
Well, all right, then. Come on, do it over here any place as long as you get some feeling into it. Come on, spread out. Hey, you kids, get back to your place and we're going to try the number once again.
A violinist hurries back.
I wish they would make up their mind.
Come on, you kids, spread off there. We'll give them plenty of room to work. Molly, I want you to start the number in back of the settee here, and later on you can both come around in front, huh? For goodness sake, put some real feeling into it this time. All right, Antonio, give me the introduction.
Dark-haired Antonio taps his baton. Mickey sits and watches Don and Molly, who stand behind the wicker settee. The vocalists gaze into each other's eyes.
It seems we stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then, but I can't remember where or when.
Dawn steps closer and holds her clasped hands.
The clothes you're wearing are the clothes you wore. The smile you are smiling, you were smiling then, but I can't remember where or when.
Some things that happen for the first time seem to be happening again.
And so it seems that we have met before and laughed before and loved before, but who knows where or when.
The little fiddlers saw their bows, each diligently following the score. Mickey grimaces and covers his ears. He walks among the musicians, searching anxiously. Wincing, he settles beside one wide-eyed boy in the string section. Mickey turns the boy's sheet music right side up, then smiles.
And so it seems that we have met before.
And laughed before.
And loved before.
But who knows where.
Cuddling on the settee, Molly rests her head on Don's shoulder.
Well, well, now that's a way to sing a song. Now, in a few minutes, you kids go over the number again, so you'll be sure you got it perfect, huh? Tony, come here, listen, will you? You've got to go over that interlude again. That was terrible. Well, I got to go, kids. Good night, everybody. Come on.
Mickey and Patsy walk to the front yard.
Send them all home at 9 and tell everybody to be here at 10 in the morning, huh?
Okay. Maya, I hope you have a nice dinner.
Oh, this is all business, Pat.
You look wonderful, Mickey.
Thanks for always saying the right thing. I can lick wildcats now. Good night.
Night.
In his slightly oversized tux, Mickey saunters off. Later, he approaches the front porch of an imposing mansion. He strides up to the door and presses a button. Inside, a stately butler crosses the pristine foyer and opens the door. Mickey steps right in.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Mickey doffs his hat.
Whom do you wish to see?
Miss Essex.
I'm afraid she'll be unable to see you, sir.
Why not?
Miss Essex is expecting an important theatrical impresario.
Mickey drops his head.
Oh.
He starts to go, then stops.
Hey, that's me.
Oh, I don't believe I heard the name, sir.
I know you didn't, because I didn't say it. It's Moran. Michael. Z. Moran.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Won't you step in?
His hand shows the way.
Thanks.
Mickey hangs his hat on it.
Well, Michael, I hardly expected you so soon.
Rosalie descends the staircase wearing a glittering white gown and carrying a Pekingese. She offers her hand.
So nice to see you again.
Mickey shakes her hand.
Nice to see you, too.
I know I kept you waiting.
No, you haven't kept me waiting. Well, I mean, that is, I have been waiting to see you ever since I met you in the drugstore.
You're just as impetuous as I thought you were.
I am.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner is served, Miss Rosalie.
Thank you, Bartlett.
Rosalie takes Mickey's arm.
Oh, I almost forgot. You haven't met my darling yet. This is Kai.
K cute, isn't he?
This is Mr. Moran, Kai, baby. You give him a nice, wet kiss.
She presses the snub-nosed dog into his face.
Oh, I hope he didn't frighten you.
No, no, no. No, he didn't at all. It's an affectionate little fellow, isn't he?
Now, you run along and play, Kai, darling.
The dog trots off.
He has temperament, just like me, Daddy says.
In the dining room, they approach a long candlelit table. As Mickey goes to help Rosalie with her chair, Bartlett beats him to it, then motions him to the chair at the other end of the table. Mickey walks slowly, listening to his shoes.
Gee, the crickets are pretty thick out tonight, aren't they?
As Mickey sits, Bartlett slides the young man's chair to the table. Now with a full plate before him, Mickey places his napkin on his lap. He fingers the array of silverware by his plate, then looks uncertainly to the other end of the table. Rosalie daintily lifts a fork into her mouth. Mickey reaches for one of his forks. Bartlett shakes his head. Mickey replaces the fork, then smiles at Rosalie and dabs his lips with his napkin. Rosalie smiles back and continues eating. Mickey looks at Bartlett and points to another fork. Bartlett nods. Mickey nods back, picks up the dinner fork, and takes a satisfied bite.
I've never tasted a tastier...
He points his fork at his plate and glances toward Bartlett.
Miss Essex?
Oh, don't call me that. Call me baby. Everybody does.
Well, all right. What do you do with yourself, baby?
I study boys, French, and dancing. That's why I didn't go to Maine with Father. You see, I'm preparing for a comeback.
She frowns.
I don't see why I should accept failure. Why I should let them tell me I'm through. Do you?
Heck no. That's why I think my production would be perfect for you.
Do you think so? Oh, I was praying you'd say that. Oh, Michael. Don't tell me you're going to give me my chance.
Well, if I had the dough, I would.
How much do you need?
He lifts the tablecloth to his lips, then catches himself and uses his napkin instead.
I see. First of all, we're going to use a barn that some actors used last summer and turn it into an outdoor theater. And I figured if we all pitched in together, that is for the scenery and the costumes and everything, it'd run us about $287.
Have you got it yet?
No.
Rosalie coyly bites her lip, then grins.
Well, you have now.
Mickey gapes over his fork.
Move over here where we can talk.
He smiles ecstatically, picks up his plate and glass, and rushes over.
Oh, it will be exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
I can hardly wait.
He goes back and grabs his chair, then gathers up his silverware and plunks it down by his plate.
We'll work together wonderfully, you and I. How about an orchestra?
Oh, we can have the Rangerettes in for nothing.
Enchanting. It'll be a great show. Shall we drink to that?
Why, you bet.
They lift their glasses.
Good luck.
I hope so.
Now at a mantel, Bartlett lifts an ornate box with a burning wick atop it. He brings it to Mickey.
Cigar, sir?
Bartlett lifts the lid.
Oh,
do have one. They're Daddy's best.
Well, I can't pass up anything like this.
Mickey reaches into the box, removes a cigar, and places it between his lips. As Bartlett holds a flame to the tip, Mickey sucks in.
I suggest, sir, it will draw better if one bites the end off.
Mickey looks at the cigar.
Oh, how could I make a mistake like that?
He chomps on the end and bites off a big piece. Mickey looks around for a place to spit it out, then lays it by his plate. Again, Bartlett holds a flame to the cigar and Mickey draws. Smoke billows around his face. Mickey sways in his chair.
Don't draw the cigar smoke in, Mr. Moran. Blow it out for your own sake.
Staring straight ahead, Mickey blows out a stream of smoke, then appraises the cigar.
Oh, this is delightful.
When does the show start rehearsing?
Well, as soon as I can get it.
When?
A cloud of smoke rises as Mickey grimaces between coughs. He staggers to his feet.
I'll phone you tomorrow. Let you know. You have to excuse me, please. I've got another appointment.
He shambles toward the door. On his way out, he turns and faces them.
Thanks for the dinner. It was
Swell while it lasted.
Clasping a hand over his mouth, Mickey runs for the door and trips on the foyer steps. Now a boy carrying a pair of pants sees a sign on a tall fence gate. No admittance. Rehearsal going on. He goes in.
Hey, Mickey, here's your pants. Oh, where have you been? Go on, get up there in your place, will you?
The boy rushes past rows of empty benches. He joins a dozen other kids rehearsing a dance number on a makeshift stage set inside a barn. Mickey approaches, waving his arms to the music. On stage, keeping their hands on each other's shoulders, six girls kick in unison.
All right, kids, that's enough. Take a rest. We'll try the dance later on. In the meantime, we'll take a reprise of this where or when number. Here, pass the parts out. We'll take the other number in a little bit.
Hey, Mickey.
Yeah, what do you want?
Have you told Patsy yet?
Oh, I've tried to get it out a million times, but just can't do it.
Well, she's on her way in, and baby Rosalie will be here any minute now.
Well, I guess it's got to be now. Come on, take over, will you, Doug?
Sure.
He hands Don the baton.
Oh, Mickey, I've practiced till I'm nearly hoarse. Gosh, isn't it wonderful?
Yes, it sure is, Pat.
He takes Patsy's hand.
Look, come over here. I want to talk to you for a minute.
What is it?
He faces her earnest gaze.
We're in a tough spot, Pat.
Yeah?
Yes, we've got to have a lot of dough to put on this show. And, well, we need an angel, you know. And can you take it?
Dish it out.
Well, we found an angel. But in order to keep her, we have to give her the lead in the show.
Mickey looks away.
Sing my songs? The songs you wrote for me? Say my lines? Oh, Mickey, we were going to do it together. This was going to be our first show. You and me in there pitching, just like you said.
Yes, I know. But what can we do?
Patsy turns away.
I can't bear it.
Oh, don't cry, Pat, because if you do, then I'm just going to call the whole thing off, because, I mean, this is too much for me.
Patsy turns back around.
Who's crying? Don't be silly.
Pat, would you punch me right in the nose if I ask you to understudy?
She blinks and cocks her head.
Catherine Cornell did it. I should be proud.
Mickey lowers his eyes.
Well, it's going to be a tough job, kid, because this baby Rosalie is just a bundle of temperament. And will you help me keep her quiet? Will you stick in there and pitch?
She extends her hand.
Put her there.
Mickey shakes it.
Oh, Pat, you're the tops.
Arm in arm, they head back. As Mickey pats her hand, the young woman stops short and stares.
Hello there!
It's Rosalie.
Hello, everybody!
She skips down the aisle, hello, greets the orchestra, and dashes on stage.
Alexander, do take the little darlings for a walk.
As Alexander tends to the dogs, Rosalie's maid ports boxes backstage. The starlet begins her warm-ups. As she does two splits, a young boy trying to imitate her falls on his face. Now Rosalie does a rapid series of one-handed cartwheels. Everyone watches. Patsy claps first, prompting her stern-faced friends to applaud as well. Rosalie twirls out of the cartwheels and grins.
Thanks.
Arms extended wide, Rosalie leans into a rolling fall. Her legs curl over her back, and her feet touch down by her head. She rolls upright, then immediately repeats the fluid acrobatics.
Just getting the kinks out.
All right. Come on, kids. Let's try the Antony and Cleopatra sketch, and I want the scene set just like we're going to have it with props and everything. Come on. Let's go a little pepper now.
Rosalie's maid comes to her side.
Stand up, honey, so I can brush you off.
It's so close today.
Yes, it is sultry, isn't it?
May I get you a glass of water?
Thank you, my dear.
Isn't she a sweet little girl?
Patsy bites her lip.
All right, come on. Bring the window up in position. Over the divan, please. There, that's fine. Okay, give me the parts now, will you? That's fine. Bob's done. There's your part, Sid.
Yeah.
Miss Essex, please. And I'd like Miss Essex's address now. This is the gates here and the guard keepers right there. This is Cleopatra's throne room, a very luxurious layout overlooking the Nile. And this is a swell divan covered with satin cushions and ostrich feathers and a lot of jewels and pearls and things like
there
that.
There is.
Now, Don, you entrance from over here and you see baby reclining. Will you recline, please, Miss Essex? That's fine. All right, now look. This Mark Antony is a sort of a man about town, very suave, see? And you, baby, you're Cleopatra, the Queen of Egypt. very beautiful, lovely, and suave, see? You hardly know him. Now, he's already busted up your army so that the only way that you can keep your throne is to have him fall for you. All right, listen, Don, you're a Clark Gable type, very modern, polished, and, well, full of suaveness, you see what I mean?
Yeah, you mean we're suave.
Yeah, that...
He shoots Don a look.
Come on, now, let's try it once, everybody. All right, right from the beginning now, from the curtain. All right, ready? Curtain!
Rosalie stands offering her hand.
Greetings, Mark. What's new?
Your Majesty.
No, that's not quite it, Miss Essex. Look, do you mind if I show you? Look, just stand over there. Now, watch me. Now, you're down here. You're reclining here.
He poses in a veil.
You watching? Now, I want you to get up, and I want you to slink. Slink, a regal slink. Sort of bouncing-like. See what I mean? All right, go ahead, Don.
Your Majesty.
What's your name?
Just call me Baby. Everybody does.
Just call me Baby. Everybody. No, what I meant was, what was your line?
The only man in the world who I would go to meet.
Yes, you're the only man in the world I'd go to meet. See, more...
Suave?
Yes, well, go on. Now, let's try it again. Come on, right from where we left off.
Smiling sweetly, Rosalie slinks to Don, who wears a fake mustache.
Your Majesty, I have a feeling I'm going to find Egypt fascinating.
Don kisses her.
Oh, terrible. Terrible. Don, terrible.
I didn't think so.
No, but it's the way you read the lines. I mean, there's no feeling to it or anything. Look, maybe we better try it over here on the couch. Don, come over and sit beside her, will you? I want a more virile approach. Like Clark Gable would do it. Now, come on, do it once for me right here, will you?
Your Majesty, I have a feeling I'm going to find Egypt fascinating.
No, Mickey rips off Don's mustache and puts it on.
Just stand up there for a minute.
He furrows his brow.
Now, see here, Cleo. You stalled me for the last time. You can't push Mark Antony around like that and get away with it, see? Last month, I took over the south side. Now I'm taking over the palace. And what's more, I'm taking over you, see? Get your things packed. We're taking a honeymoon on the Nile. I've got a barge waiting at the dock with a motor running.
Now, you see, Don, that's more the way Gable would do it.
Well, Gable and I work differently.
Yeah, that's why he works more often. Okay, so it's your cue. Don, you're over here now.
Cleopatra, who is this man?
Who's this?
Well, that's your Uncle Croesus.
But Cleopatra didn't have an uncle.
Well, she has now. Shall I keep going while I'm hot?
Oh, Sid, you're as cold as an ice cube. Look, I want this uncle to be a violent character. Like Lionel Barrymore would play it. I mean, when he comes into this room and finds his niece here with a strange man, he's got to be...
Suave?
No, furious. Look, Sid, let me show you what I mean, huh? Now, this is the way Barrymore would do it. Now, watch, Sid.
He puts on Sid's glasses and white wig.
Now, see here, Cleo. This isn't by chance one of your latest admirers, is it?
Why, Uncle, I don't know what you mean.
Don't try to act innocent, my child. The whole town's talking.
He scowls at Don.
Now, see here, sonny. We don't like strangers hanging around this place. I'll give you just 48 hours to get out.
He removes the wig and glasses, pardon, then puts on Don's mustache.
I go. Cleo goes with me. I love her, you see. Out of the way, Uncle. We're leaving.
He switches back to the Croesus costume.
Look here, Cleo. I'm your uncle. I love you as if you were my own niece. But this man is marrying you just for your money.
Mickey changes costumes again.
She's going with me, do you understand?
Do you love me because I'm worth $50 million?
Nonsense. I'd love you if you only had $40 million. Money isn't everything.
And I love you.
Rosalie closes her eyes and puckers her lips.
That's fine, Miss Essex. That's just right. Here, Don, you take over from there. Huh?
Come on, Clark Antony. Finish the scene.
Well, if you insist.
As Rosalie puckers up, Patsy enters with the glass of water. She sees Mickey put the mustache back on and plant a kiss on Rosalie. As Patsy's lips tremble, the glass drops from her hand. She quivers as she looks down at the broken glass, then turns and runs backstage. Now, outside the Seaport bus station, a white-uniformed porter stands beside the door of a bus as a couple boards. Mickey races over from across the street and approaches the porter.
Say, is this a sleeper bus for Schenectady?
Yes, sir.
Have you seen a little girl about, never mind. Oh, Patty! Look, let me talk to you. Will you listen to me, please?
No. She covers her ears.
Oh, wait a minute. That's acting like a baby, a great big baby.
I'm not a baby, Mr. Moran.
Then why are you going to Schenectady?
I want to see my mother, that's all.
Why?
none of your business.
Oh, wait a minute, will you, Pat? Listen, I'm doing the best I can.
Oh, you're doing grand for Baby Rosalie.
Well, whatever I've done, I've had to do.
Well, did you have to kiss Baby Rosalie today?
Well, that's my business, honey. I'm a director.
Well, then you better get to work, Mr. Ziegfeld. The Girl Scouts are just clamoring for you.
Oh. She pulls out his pen.
Here, I suppose you want this, too. Oh. Indian giver.
He retrieves it from the ground.
Listen, how can I be an Indian giver? Oh, Pat, listen, won't you let me explain?
He runs to her window outside the departing bus.
Hey, Patsy, give me a chance to explain, will you? Will you let me?
The bus speeds off. Standing in the street in a fog of dust and exhaust, Mickey looks down at the pin in his fingers. Later, the bus drives down a tree-shaded street. Inside, Patsy sits on a bed in her compartment as Fields pass by in the window behind her. She goes to the suitcase on the opposite seat and retrieves a nightgown, which she tosses on the bed. She then pulls down a black window shade and sits. Her lip trembling, Patsy pulls a handkerchief from her jacket pocket. A framed picture of Mickey tumbles out. Patsy holds up the picture and leans back against her pillow.
I cry for now it's your turn to cry over me. Every road has a turning. That's one thing you're learning. I cried for you. What a fool I used to be. But how fine to eyes just a little bit bluer. How fine a heart just a little bit truer. I cried for you. Now it's your turn to cry over me.
She sets the picture on a bedside stand.
I know I'm no glamour girl like baby, like her. But maybe someday you'll realize that glamour isn't the only thing in this world. If your show's a flop, you'll find you can't eat glamour for breakfast. Anyway, I might be pretty good looking myself when I grow out of this ugly duckling stage. And you're no Clark Gable yourself. But that's all right. You go your way and I'll go mine. Don't worry about me. I'll recover. Time is a great healer. But in the future, if we should meet again at the opera or at a ball, and I'm dazzling in my diamonds and pearls and ermine wraps, and surrounded by lords and dukes and princes, you'll probably be sorry. And you'll probably realize that life is...
She tenderly holds the picture again.
Just an idiot's delight. And as I speed through the dark night into the abyss of oblivion, I can only say thanks. Thanks for the memory.
How fine to eyes just a little bit bluer. How fine a heart just a little bit truer. I cried for you. Now it's your turn to cry over me.
She clutches the picture to her chest. Now a crate reads, Joe and Florrie Moran, Theater.
George, everybody in?
Bob and Eddie, he'll be here shortly. 15 minutes.
He turns away from the dressing room door.
You're on second, folks.
Okay.
Who opens the show tonight, George?
You fellas do.
We do. Hey, what's the idea? Hey, Joe, why do we open the bill?
Now listen, boys. We've got to take turns in opening the show. We're all headlines.
But we got a terrific finish here.
As they leave, Patsy arrives.
You want to see anyone, miss?
Yes, I want to see my mother, Mrs. Barton.
Okay, dressing room number 4.
Joe returns.
Tonight we'll see how it works.
For the love of Mike, Patsy.
Hello, Mr. Murray.
Sweetheart, what are you doing here?
Oh, I got catalogs from my mother.
Things got so tough you had to come up here, huh?
Oh, no, everything's just fine.
Lillian, I got a surprise for you. Look what I found in the hall.
Patsy Barton. Why, my baby, did the house burn down or something? Oh, goodness, can a girl come to see her mother without everybody thinking she's crazy? Hello, Mr. Murray.
Later in the dressing room, the veterans swarm around Patsy.
Patsy,
tell me, what's Mickey doing?
What's Mickey doing? Oh, he's got a lot of kids together, and he's going to put on a show. A wonderful show.
I see.
He's doing what?
Dear, don't get excited.
He didn't say anything in his postcard.
Is Junior in it?
What don't he do?
See, how's Frankie's dance?
Oh, it's grand.
What's this baloney about a show?
Oh, it's the truth. He wrote it, and now he's going to produce it. And he's got the Rangerettes and Baby Rosalie, and oh, he's got a lot of kids. No kidding, it's going to be swell.
Why did Mickey do this?
Well, Miss Steele said that we weren't having the proper care, and she threatened to send us away to the state work school.
Well, state work school?
An institution!
Our kids in a work school. Now, listen here, folks. Let's give up this silly tour and go home.
George,
we can't do that just because the going is tough. Now, listen, I know business will pick up next week. I'm sure it will.
Yeah,
well,
you go with that last week. I'm going to put you all out of here, because I want to talk to Patsy.
Right you are.
As the veterans file out of the dressing room, Mrs. Barton leads her daughter to a seat by a makeup table.
Mickey's show sounds elegant. Where'd you get the money?
I don't know.
Isn't Baby Rosalie the movie baby?
She's the star of the show.
Wonderful. Now, dear, tell me, why aren't you in it?
Oh, I thought I wanted a theatrical career, but I changed my mind.
Why?
Too many heartaches.
Oh, now, what do you know about heartaches?
She holds her daughter's hand.
You and Mickey quarreled. You did, didn't you? And you quit the show and came up here to see me.
With her head hung low, Patsy nods.
You shouldn't have done that, Patsy.
Well, he took all my songs and gave them to her.
Doesn't matter.
Patsy looks up at her tearfully.
Why not?
Mickey was doing it for everybody. Patsy, your daddy was a minstrel man. So was his daddy. They did plenty of crazy things, but they never walked out on a show.
But Mother, Mickey and I, and she kept putting her arms around him, and I just couldn't.
Mrs. Barton hugs her daughter. Now a billboard-sized poster reads, Michael Z. Moran presents Rosalie Essex, Baby Rosalie, Babes in Arms, opens tonight by Michael Z. Moran with an all-star cast. Michael Z. Moran, Rosalie Essex, Don Bryce, Molly Moran. Entire production under the personal direction of Michael Z. Moran. Formally dressed men and women stroll past the poster toward an opening between two tall hedges. On the other side, people sit on the benches facing the barn stage. Backstage, Mickey approaches a group of kids.
Sid, girls, what are you standing around for? Hurry up, get ready. Aren't you finished with that?
As he walks past a boy painting a backdrop, Patsy storms over to him.
I may be a sap about the men I pick, but I'm no quitter. So there, my family are all troopers, and we don't walk out on any show.
Well, who said anything about walking out on any?
She slams a dressing room door.
Oh, women.
He marches to the next dressing room.
See who it is, Millicent.
Rosalie's maid walks to the door and opens it.
Is Miss Essex dressed?
Come in, Michael.
Oh, how's our little star? Fine, I hope.
A little nervous. Sit down.
Thanks.
How's our director?
Oh, I'm a little nervous, too. And then some.
That's a sign of a good trooper.
Oh, then I must be great. Gee, I wished I hadn't plastered my name all over everything.
You'll get used to it. Look at me.
Well, maybe.
Get out of my way, or I'll put you in jail where you belong. The lot of you.
My father!
The door swings open.
Well, there you are, young lady. Where's this Michael Z. Moran?
I'm him.
So, you're the smart little twerp that was going to exploit the prestige of an important name. Why, for a nickel.
Now, wait a minute, will you?
Wait, nothing. Here, young lady, get into this coat. We're getting out of here.
But she's the star of the show.
Don't make me laugh. I'm grooming her for a comeback. Millicent, you pack up. Come on.
But, Father, I've got a great part.
Well, listen, you can't take her away.
Take her. She's a pain in the neck.
Mr. Essex pushes Rosalie past the gawking kids.
She's got money in the show.
We'll kiss that goodbye. I'll tell you when you have a great part, just as I always did.
He leads Rosalie away.
What are you going to do, boss? We'll tell the audience.
Are we going to get a show?
What's going to happen?
Quiet down, will you please? I don't know what I'm going to do. Give me a chance to think.
Mickey looks across the room to Patsy.
Come on with me, Patsy.
He pulls her into her dressing room.
Listen, everybody out but Patsy. The show's going on. The curtain goes up in 7 minutes. Now snap into it, will you, kids?
He shuts the door.
Patsy, get your makeup on. I wrote this show for you, see, and I want you to get out there and show them I wasn't crazy when I did it. But don't think things have changed between you and me. Now go out there and sell it.
Oh, Mickey, you're...
Never mind. I know what I am. An Indian giver.
Mickey bumps into the judge.
What's the delay, Mickey?
Oh, Judge, I didn't know you could have so much trouble putting on a show. Would you do me a favor, please? Would you go out there and make a speech and tell
them... Hey, Mickey, here's your makeup. You better hurry, kid.
Tell them that Patsy Barton is going on in place of Rosalie Essex.
Well, what's happened?
I'll tell you later. Would you do that for me, please, Judge?
All right, Mickey.
Thanks.
Mickey dabs his fingers in a can of face paint and runs off. Now, outside, audience members fill up the last few seats in the yard. The orchestra members stand as the curtain barn doors part. A spotlight follows Patsy as she heads center stage. She curtsies in front of a sign on a curtain behind her. It reads, Minstrels Tonight.
My daddy was a minstrel man when minstrels were the thing. When Mr. Bones and Mr. Jones danced a buck and wing. When Eddie Leonard was so great and Primrose was the king. Gee, I'd like to be a minstrel man. I'd like to black my face, put on a stovepipe hat, get out an old banjo, and go once again down memory lane with an old fashioned.
A marching band made up of kids in blackface parades through the audience toward the stage. They carry signs reading Dixie Minstrels. Backstage, Mickey and Patsy smear black paint over their faces.
Here they come. Hurry up, Pat. We want a minute.
I'm hurrying.
On stage, two minstrel kids wearing suspenders and straw hats inch the curtains apart. A little girl in blackface tap dances into the spotlight. Behind her, three tall kids in satiny top hats and tails play banjos. As more black-faced kids dance behind them with tambourines, the curtains swing all the way open. Kids march in front of a southern mansion backdrop as Don, wearing no makeup, sits center stage. Patsy dances out as a male minstrel.
Come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I'm going to Louisiana for much you love to see.
Mickey joins her.
Green all night the day I left the weather. It was so dry. The sun so hot I froze to death. Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee.
Don stands.
Gentlemen, be seated.
The kids sit in unison.
Mr. Bones, I have a question to ask. There is something that I want to know.
Well, tell me, Sonny.
Mr. Bones, will you tell me and answer me right? Who's that lady you were with last night?
Now, Mr. Interlocutor, you're a curious man, but I will tell you if you want to know. I'm now so helping me more than upon my life. There was no lady, that there was of my wife.
Mickey laughs, spreading his exaggerated lips.
Mr. Tambo, I've a question to ask you tonight. And with all your fancy knowledge, you should know.
Patsy stands.
Mr. Tambo, will you tell us and give us a treat? Tell us, why does a chicken cross the street?
I have studied up my geography, studied up my history, studied up my poetry with pride. And I am here to repeat
as he dances off the stage.
There's a grand old minstrel man whose name we hold so dear. I know that you'll remember him the moment that you hear.
The spotlight turns to Mickey.
Ida, sweet as apple cider. Oh, sweeter than all I know. No, 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 no. Come out, oh, won't you come out in the silvery moonlight of love we'll whisper so soft and low.
Mickey sprinkles sand at his feet.
We were sailing on low on moonlight bay, down the silvery bay. We could hear the voices ringing, ding dong, they seem to say.
Mickey tap dances.
You have stolen my heart, a maiden's heart. Now don't go away, don't you ever go away. As we sing love's old sweet song on moonlight bay.
The chorus singers pat their knees, then doff their hats to Patsy. She dances on in a frilly dress.
I'm here to say, I'm here to relate, to explain and make it plain that I'm just wild about Harry, and Harry's wild about me.
She twirls a parasol.
The heavenly blisses of his kisses fills me with ecstasy. He's sweet just like chocolate candy, or like the honey from a bee. Oh, I'm just wild about Harry, and he's just wild about me. Cannot do without, he's just wild about me.
Mickey joins her wearing a huge polka dot bow tie.
I'm just wild about Mandy, and Mandy's wild about me.
With their arms extended, Mickey and Patsy shuffle backward, then dance around each other. As she can-cans toward him, he skips backward on one foot, waving his stovepipe hat in the air. The two then stand beside each other and quickly dance forward on their heels as the seated chorus sways behind them. Mickey and Patsy crisscross each other several times, then join hands. The orchestra, wind blows down a violinist's music stand and leaves whip through the air. The audience members get up, cover their heads, and clear the benches. On stage, Mickey holds his hands out to the fleeing audience. In the orchestra, the musicians stand up and hurry away with their instruments. The wind knocks Mickey onto his back, and rain soaks the stage. Wipes his head, smearing off some of his face paint. Now he sits in his living room reading a newspaper. A headline reads, Hurricane Sweeps Coast, Million Dollar Loss. Molly and Flory play cards nearby.
Well, you'll have to admit it took a hurricane to stop me.
Mickey, that was a fine effort.
Where's Dad?
Flory glances at her daughter, who walks away.
Mom, where's Dad?
Molly sits at the piano.
Oh, but he always have to keep pounding on the piano. Nobody can hear himself think.
Nobody can think in this house anyway.
Oh, you're always so smart, Jelen.
Please. Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Mom. Don't worry. He'll be home.
He'll be home? Say, what is this? You two trying to keep something from me? Something happened that I don't know about? Where's Pop? I haven't seen him since he came back.
Mickey, don't shout. I'm nervous, that's all. I wish your father was home.
Well, he didn't come home last night. He didn't get up and go out before I did this morning. Where is he? What's happening?
Mickey, quit picking on Mama. You must know. Well, we're afraid Dad's been drinking.
Dad?
No, no, it isn't that. I'm quite sure he's looking for work.
What, for the act?
No, he's through with show business.
Through? Why, that's all he knows. That's all he's good for.
He's trying to find something steady. Something we can depend on.
Maybe you could sell Mr. Randall a couple of your songs to tide us over.
No, I was over there this morning.
Well?
Well, they got enough songs on the shelf to drive the country crazy. Oh, but I'll still keep on trying. Maybe Dad is right. Maybe he is through. But I'm not through. Show business owes us something, and I'm going to collect.
Is that so?
Mickey's father steps across the living room.
We're through. All of us. Starting over. And if ever I hear show business, songwriting, or that word vaudeville mentioned here, I'll kick the tar out of you.
You didn't raise me on that kind of talk, Dad.
I'll take that rap. I didn't know any better. I do now.
Oh, come on, take it easy. Take it easy.
The theater's full of promises. Great promises. So long as you hand over your heart and soul, then something new comes along. You're tossed in the ditch. The procession goes on. Well, I got a job. I start tomorrow.
Doing what?
Running an elevator.
Ah, listen.
At least we'll eat.
Yeah, well, that counts me out.
What do you mean?
Oh, well, I'm getting out on my own.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, no, you just try and stop me.
Mickey!
Miss Steele walks in.
Well?
Mr. Moran?
Yes?
I've brought the papers.
Papers? What papers?
After you sign them, return them to Judge Black's office. Please have the children there at 9 o'clock on Friday morning.
Hey, what is this?
Haven't you told them yet?
I'll take care of this, thank you.
I'm sorry.
I was dead.
As Miss Steele leaves, Joe turns his back to his son and drops the papers on a small table. Mickey steps to his side.
Dad, you've turned against us. You...
It'll only be for the time being. You'll get education there. I can't do it no other way. And I won't let you be a tramp in the streets. Listen, son. You gotta be something. You'll thank me someday. I know you will.
Oh, quit talking like that. It makes me sick to hear you talk like that. Go on. Sign the paper. But that Steele woman, she'll never get me.
Shut up!
Joe slaps his son. Mickey's eyes tear up as he rubs his cheek. He swallows and nods.
All right. Dad?
Mickey runs off. As Molly chases after him, Florrie goes to her husband. Mickey and Molly head out the front door to the yard.
Here comes Mickey now.
Mickey, wait a minute. What's happened?
Mickey, what's the matter?
Something the matter?
What's up?
Anything wrong?
Well, they're going to sign us to the state work school. Our families are.
They are?
Oh, no.
Did you hear that?
Hey, Mickey, here's a letter for you. This mailman just brought it. It's from Harry Maddox. See, that's the big producer.
Huh?
Read it, Mickey.
Yeah, go on.
See what it says.
Mickey takes the envelope from Don and tears it open.
Oh, dear, you read it, Don.
Dear Mickey, your friend Judge Black talked me into coming to see your show. It was the only time I came near being drowned in liking it. I wish you'd drop in and discuss your production with me. Sincerely yours, Harry Maddox.
Oh! Say, has anybody got a dime that I can get to New York with?
Here, I got two bits.
Oh, what a pal.
Come on, let's go up to the station.
Mickey and the kids run off, leaving Patsy behind. Now, outside the Maddox Theater, a marquee reads, "Opening soon, Babes in Arms."
Hey, kids, look what it says in the paper about the show. Babes in Arms.
Come on, get back on the stage. We got a lot of rehearsing to do. Come on.
Now, a woman on a phone.
Yes, this is the Harry Maddox Theatrical Productions. Yes, ma'am. Yes, we're casting children for the new show. You're welcome. Stage mother. Why doesn't Mr. Maddox produce Ibsen instead of kid shows?
You got me.
Joe enters the crowded reception area and removes his hat. He steps forward timidly. At the front desk, the receptionist stands across from a woman and two children.
Sorry, Mr. Maddox is busy. You'll have to wait. Hello? Yes, Mr. Maddox. No, he hasn't come in yet. Yes, sir.
Joe approaches her.
I beg your pardon.
Only casting children today.
She flips through a date book.
I'm Joe Moran. Mr. Maddox sent for me.
Mr. Moran? Oh, yes, he's expecting you. Please come right this way.
The receptionist opens a gate in a railing beside her desk. She directs Joe to an office. Inside, Harry Maddox crosses the stylish room.
Hello, Joe.
They shake hands.
By golly, it's good to see you.
Thanks, Mr. Maddox.
Cut it out. Where do you get that Mr. Maddox stuff?
Well, you're a big shot now, Harry.
Oh, applesauce. You know, show business up today and down tomorrow and back.
Mickey's
up
hidden behind Harry's desk.
Say, Joe, do you know it's taken me a month to find you?
Well, Florrie and me have got a place down near the job. You know, the kids went out on their own.
Yeah. Yes, I know, they'll do that, kids will. Joe, what I want to see you about was this. I'm in a spot where you can help me out.
Oh, no show business.
Joe, the world has been changing so rapidly in the last few years, it's kept us all dizzy. The public is like the Frenchman's flea. You put your finger on them and boom, they aren't there. They're always hungry for something new.
I'm not interested in the public.
You didn't talk like that the night Mickey was born, that night back in the Palace Theater, when everybody in the audience got to be your brother and your sister. Gee, they were great that night. Remember?
Yeah, they were.
A lot of that's come back, Joe. Old-fashioned sentiment's not taboo anymore. And Joel, a song and dance man as great as you are is just as much of a miracle as he ever was.
Leave me alone, Harry. I want no part of it. I stood on Broadway corners and watched the business I grew up in, that I was good in. I watched it pass me by like I had no place in it. Never turned around to see if your feelings were hurt. Kids had nothing. Home gone. I got up out of the rosin as often as I could.
He shakes his head.
I'm tired. I'll stay where I am.
Ah, you. Kidding yourself that you can live without doing what you were put here for? You mean to say that you think you can keep away from show business? Ha, no. Joan, I'm offering you a job. A job where you'll see the people crowding in every night, sure they're going to have a good time. You get to the theater, you meet your pals, you get your makeup on. You hear the orchestra tuning up. The stage manager calls, first act, places, please, curtain's going up. Then the curtain goes up. Oh, boy, what a thrill. No, Joe. You and I, we can't ever live without it. We know too much about it.
What's your proposition, Harry?
Well, I've got a show. A new show, a bunch of kids, see? As fresh and sparkling as anything that ever hit Broadway. But, well, they don't know as much about song and dance as they think they do. So I want you to teach them. Show them how.
Mickey listens intently.
What do you say?
Joe nods with a weepy smile.
All right, Harry.
I knew you would. Now, you run home and tell Florrie all about it. And listen, you and she are having dinner with me tonight, just like old times. Joe, by the way, there's somebody in the show that you know.
Who?
Harry rests his hands on Joe's arms.
Mickey.
Mickey.
Nah. Don't get excited. Just keep cool. The kid is swell. No fooling. He's immense. But he needs you, Joe. He needs you more than anything in the world.
Joe smiles.
All right, call your rehearsal. I'll make a trooper out of him. A real trooper.
Give my love to Florrie.
Harry shuts the door behind him, then wipes his face. Mickey stands up from behind the desk.
Gee, I didn't think you were going to be able to make it. What a man. Thanks, Mr. Maddox.
You see, Mickey, I've loved your father much longer than you have.
I'm going to make good for him, too.
Yes, and you're going to make good for a lot of other people.
Who?
For the millions of kids who've never had a chance. For the millions of kids, a lot of wiseacres are telling there's no such thing anymore as an American dream. Well, those kids have got their eyes on you because you're being given your chance, and by the bones of Bacchus, you better make good.
Gee, it's bigger than just a show. Say, it's everybody in the country.
Now, in the Maddox Theater, Miss Steele, Judge Black, and Mrs. Barton look down from the front seats of a mezzanine box. Mickey stands with his back to a full house as he conducts the orchestra. Joe and Florrie watch from backstage.
Look at that kid, will you?
Grinning, Mickey sets down his baton, then faces the audience.
Hi there, neighbor, going my way. East or west on the Lincoln Highway. Hi there, Yankee, give out with a great big thank you. You're in God's country, where the grass is greener and timber's taller, the mountains bigger and trouble smaller. Hi there, Chappie, look over the seas, be happy. You're in God's country. 100 million rooters can't be wrong, so give a hand, give a hand, give a cheer for your land, where smiles are broader and freedom's greater, where every man is his own dictator. Hi there, Yankee, give out with a great big thank you. You're in God's, God's country.
The kids pop up from the orchestra pit.
Skies blue,
God's country.
Hearts true,
God's country.
All of you who think it's so much easier to give in, count your many blessings on this wondrous land we live in.
As the pit small parts, the young people march down the aisle in pairs.
Love its highways, love its alleys,
its rocky mountains and rooty valleys.
Hi there, neighbor, you don't need a sword or saber.
You're in God's country.
We've got no Duce, we've got no Fuhrer.
But we've got Garbo and Norma Shearer.
Got no Goosestep.
But we've got a Susie Q-Step
here in God's country. 100 million rulers can't be wrong.
Oh, give a hand, give a smile.
Give a cheer.
For your land.
We've got Nelson, Eddie, lots of others.
We've got 3 of the 4 Marx Brothers.
Hi there, Yankee. Give up with a great big thank you. You're in God's country.
2 by 2, the well-dressed kids file on stage.
A bunch of happy residents. Here we go, a marching, the nation's future presidents.
Now, Don and Molly lead a procession down a staircase in front of a backdrop of the Capitol building. As the boys cross to the sides in their dark tuxedos, the girls move center stage in their white gowns. Everyone raises their right hand.
Hail to the king, a very charming fellow.
Dressed as Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt, Mickey and Patsy arrive in a roadster.
Stand up a convention, hooray!
4 young men costumed as judges greet them. The ladies recline on the steps. Each girl nestles her face to a shiny radio. Above them, Mickey and Patsy sit by a fireplace with a microphone.
My friends, it's been a lovely day. I signed a bill declaring war on bugs in Carolina. I refereed a game of chess between Japan and China. I rang a bell that launched a ship that sunk off Asia Minor. My friends, it's been a lovely day.
My day has been a lovely day. I breakfasted in Idaho, then lunched in Indiana. I opened up a Turkish bath in Helena, Montana. I launched a lovely Ferris wheel, and then dined in Louisiana. My day has been a lovely day.
It's been a lovely day.
Mickey reoffers his pin to Patsy, and she accepts.
Here in the USA.
They lean in to kiss, then stop. They look downstage, then glance dubiously at each other. A row of trombone players marches in place atop the steps. Other costumed kids arrive from either side. Among them, 3 American Indians, a hillbilly, a miner, a Maharaja, and various international dignitaries.
Romania,
India,
and France. I can only say one thing.
What?
Dad.
What about the TV girls who haven't got a chance?
I can only say to you.
What?
Dance.
What about Pango Pango?
Teach him to do the tango.
What a Brazilian mocha.
It's better if you polka.
What about our wages when we dig?
Brother, teach him to dig.
What about a pension for Ma and Pa?
What about a pension for Artie Shaw?
What about the budget? Relief! Finance!
Gentlemen!
What?
Come on, students! Just dance! Just dance!
Everyone breaks into a jaunty dance, swinging their arms and kicking their legs wildly. Mickey takes Patsy's hand and spins around with her as the couples behind them do the same on the stairs. The two then stand side by side as they shuffle loosely, holding their right hands on their stomachs and their left hands in the air. Behind them, the band marches down the steps, then parts to the sides, revealing a row of baton-waving toddlers who wear diapers and tall bearskin grenadier caps. The ladies congregate behind them in their white gowns, then follow them down. One of the toddlers marches with his lips pursed. He stares ahead dutifully. As the toddler row separates at its middle, he runs back and forth uncertainly between the two halves.
your sabers. We're all gonna be good neighbors here in God.
Now words appear over a drawing of a lion. The end. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Cast: Mickey Rooney as Mickey Moran, Judy Garland as Patsy Barton, Charles Winogur as Joe Moran, Guy Kibbe as Judge Black, June Pricer as Rosalie Essex, Grace Hayes as Florrie Moran, Betty James as Molly Moran, Douglas McPhail as Don Bryce, Rand Brooks as Jeff Steele, Lenny Lynn as Dodie Martini, John Sheffield as Bobs, Henry Hull as Maddox, Barnett Parker as William, Anne Shoemaker as Mrs. Barton, Margaret Hamilton as Martha Steele, and others.